Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The best. There's only, people ask, what publications you get? There's only one publication I get, right? And that's Phil Steele's, because nobody works harder than he does at it. He's the best. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, always a pleasure talking to you, Steve.
All right, Phil. So we will start with the home team. Coming off, we know what happened last year with that team. What is your viewpoint? And you probably have had a chance to talk with James during the course of the offseason. What's your viewpoint of what the Nittany Lions can be?
Well, I think that they could potentially get up there if the breaks go their way and be a contender in the East along with Ohio State and Michigan. They're, to me, the third-best team coming in. The question marks you have, losing five NFL draft picks on off the defensive side of the ball, losing their outstanding punter from last year, and will Sean Clifford regain his early season form that he had last season? But I think Penn State's got the potential this year to make some noise in the East. And I do think after a couple of, let's face it, down seasons the last 2 years, going a combined 11-11, I think we're going to see Penn State get back up to that potentially nine win level, maybe even 10.
Of the units that Penn State has, you rank units. Nationally, you rank units within the conference itself. What's the highest ranked unit you have for Penn State and why?
It's a defensive backs, and while they do lose a couple of draft picks out of the secondary, you look at how Penn State has fared defensive back-wise, they're always solid. They were number 9 in my past defense ratings last year. You know, they only gave up 11 touchdowns and had 14 interceptions. Generally, teams have a negative ratio as far as defensive backs go, or DBs go, but they had a positive ratio for DBs last year, 11-14. They also have 6'2" cornerback Joey Porter, who I think is NFL caliber, one of the best cornerbacks in the country, and pretty good depth. I think Coach Franklin has done a good job building the depth. So I rate the secondary my number 4 unit in the entire country.
Ohio State will lose guys like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and a few others, but they are fortunate because the NFL rules say that you have to stay for three years. So C.J. Stroud is back. Henderson's going into his second year. Jackson Smith and Jigba. So how do you look at the Buckeyes?
Yeah, 3 Heisman candidates right there. How many teams have 3 Heisman candidates coming into the season? And the answer would be no other team. And then you look at the offensive line. I think getting Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones out there at the tackle spots, those are a couple of big offensive tackles that I think are going to thrive this year. The offensive line was up and down, but, you know, I'll tell you what, Steve, being on the Joe Moore Award Committee, they didn't really meet any offensive lines that really thrilled them last year. All offensive lines were up and down last year. Maybe it had something to do with the shortened seasons of COVID the year before. But, this year they've got my number 3 rated offensive line, number 2 set of receivers, number 2 set of running backs, and number 1 quarterback in the country, quarterback unit in the country, because they've got depth with Kyle McCord and Devin Brown back there. It's the most explosive offense in the country. My computer's calling for 45.4 points per game, which would be right on par with what they had last year.
Yeah, and by the way, when I'm talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba, you got to throw in the name of Marvin Harrison, because he put together a spectacular – at the end of the season, he became really good, and he had, what, 3 touchdown catches in the Rose Bowl. I rewatched that game the other night. I'm like, I'll admit, after I did the Outback Bowl, I was sitting in a bar watching the game. I got a better viewpoint this time sitting at home watching it.
There you go. You know, it's not just those two guys. They also have Julian Fleming, who is my number 1 receiver out of high school. If he ever lives up to his potential, look out. They've got Jaden Ballard, the redshirt freshman, who was my number 6 rated receiver. Amika Egbuka, who was my number 1 rated receiver. So they've got actually on their roster 2 guys who were my number 1 receiver out of high school when they came out. It's a remarkable recruiting they do at the receiver position.
Michigan's interesting because they lost a lot on with the defensive front between Ajabo and Hutchinson. How do you look at Michigan, and then how do you look at the situation with McNamara and McCarthy?
Yeah, and I think they're going to do it the same way they did last year. Let McNamara start the games, bring McCarthy in. If McCarthy all of a sudden starts moving the football better, I mean, let's face it, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's got all those things better than Cade McNamara, but McNamara's a winner. I think make a pretty good combination. And I think the fact that neither of them is pushing to transfer elsewhere if they don't win the job is a good thing. But defensively, I think when you look at Michigan, I mean, you talked about Hutchinson and Ajabo. They also lose Hinton, Ross, Hill, Hawkins, Gray. They lose a lot of players off the defense. However, last year's defense gave up 17 points per game, 331 yards per game. This year, my computer's calling for them to drop all the way to 22 points per game, which is still pretty good. Still a top 25 defense, 342 yards per game, and the offense is going to be better. They've got two units that go underrated. I think when everybody looks at teams, generally breaks them down, they look at what? The quarterback, running back, and receivers. Well, yes. Michigan actually has my number one rated offensive line and number one rated special teams. And those are two units nobody looks at, which makes them under the radar heading into the year. And then, Steve, you got to love their schedule. You know, but prior to playing Ohio State, they have three road games. They play Indiana, Rutgers, and Iowa on the road this year. The Iowa game being the tricky one. It wouldn't surprise me if Michigan ends up being 11-0 when they travel to face Ohio State. But with that said, in Vegas right now, Michigan's a two-touchdown underdog in that game.
It's the first time in 4 years they will play that game in Columbus. A lot of people, I mean, people forget 2020, the last game they played was the game Jack and I did at Michigan. Michigan didn't play after that. They never went to Columbus. So that's the interesting, that's a wrinkle that will eventually come up. Michigan State led the world in how they had transfers play for them last year. As you know, like you, I am always prepping. So when I was doing my Michigan State prep, I noticed that, you know, and some of these guys were walk-ons that were going to go, you know, weren't going to play. But this time they lose 24 transfers, but they gain 9. What does the balance sheet look like for Michigan State when it's all said and done?
Well, you know, interestingly, Steve, today on philsteele.com, I have a blog up, and it's the Conference YPG versus Wins blog, and this has been pretty accurate. And the Big Ten actually has two huge front runners this year in that article. One of them is Michigan State, and the reason they're up there, or I should say down there, they're leading the going down box, is last year Michigan State in conference play was minus 63 yards per game. Now, that's indicative of a team that goes 3-6, maybe 2-7.
Right.
And yet somehow this team was 7-2 in the Big Ten. So I think there was a lot of smoke and mirrors involved in that. You go back and look at a couple of their games. You know, they had a big punt return in the second half when they weren't moving the ball at all to win one game. And they had the big comeback miracle win against Michigan. I thought Indiana outplayed them. Heck, you remember Penn State, I thought, has shot at them. So this is a Michigan State team that I thought caught a lot of breaks last year. You hit it right on the head. Maybe they didn't fare as well in the transfer portal. I don't think they're going to be a bad team this year, no. But I don't see them getting back to 11 or 10 wins this year. I've got them winning probably 7 or 8 tops. I've got them coming in fourth in the East. I think just a lot of things went their way last year.
Yeah, I agree. And it, you know, and when Penn State played them, instead of being a beautiful day, it was a driving snowstorm. All right. I want to ask you about an individual player. The world will concentrate on quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud. They'll talk about Bryce Young, and justifiably so. I mean, no question. What's your thought on Will Anderson?
I think he was he's going to be a Heisman front runner this year. I know for the I'm a Heisman voter, and I had him on my ballot last year. I didn't have him winning the Heisman, but had him on the ballot. And I think a lot of Heisman voters are thinking, hey, maybe I should have put him on the list. So I think he's going to have a lot of stuff in his favor. You know, when you look at Bryce Young, you're talking about a guy trying to repeat as a Heisman Trophy winner. And really, for him to repeat, he's going to have to top last year's 4,872 yards, 47-7 ratio, or else people are going to say he didn't have as good a year. I think Will Anderson is a guy that has a great chance of winning the Heisman Trophy this year. To me, the best defensive player in college football.
Yeah. All right, so by the way, your Final Four is?
going way out on a limb here, Steve.
I know.
I'm going with number one, Alabama.
Yeah.
Number two, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Number three, Georgia. And number four, Clemson. So taking a lot of chances. But I'll say this, Steve, and I found this interesting in the coaches' conversations last year. And I talked to 120 of the 131 head coaches this year. But last year, talking to the coaches, I would say 90% of them told me, Phil, this is the deepest team we have ever had. We were never able to go three deep in the spring, and we were able to do that this year. So everybody had a lot of returning talent, a lot of starters back, and a lot of experience. In fact, I had to readjust my experience chart in the front of the magazine because everybody had 17-plus returning starters. The only ones that didn't were the big boys. You know, and Ohio State wasn't in the Big Ten title game. Clemson wasn't in the ACC title game. Oklahoma wasn't in the Big 12 title game. Heck, Alabama lost to A&M, got outgamed by Florida. Close win over LSU. Should have lost Auburn. They needed a miracle comeback and four overtimes to win that one. So the powers weren't the powers last year. Everybody's back on the same playing field this year, and I think we see a return to the powers.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby stays in bounds. I don't think Alabama wins that game.
You are correct.
Yep. So now let's get to the part where I know how I have to go about it. Now I want to ask you, the transfer portal is so active. What does that do for how you are crafting this on a daily basis? Because it's no longer just about recruiting classes.
That is a great question, Steve. And I'll take you through, it takes you through the process of the magazine and shows you how it changes. I do the magazine in a three write-through process. The first write-through is my postseason write-through. And what I do is I read every article that was written about the team for the year. Now, naturally, during the season, I've watched all the games. Mm-hmm. Now I read through every article, refresh myself of what happened, all the ebbs and flows of each position. Then I write each position on the team. And after I did that in the first write-through process, I had USC middle of the pack in the Pac-12. Let's face it, they were a 4-8 team. They had a new head coach, and they only had 11 returning starters. Then in the second write-through process is after we get the freshmen incorporated into it and any transfers that are coming in. And they started moving up a little. The third is after I talk to the head coaches. And I do that after spring practice is over. Well, ironically, I talked to Lincoln Riley the day they signed Jordan Addison from Pitt, the Biletnikoff winner. Yeah. So now all of a sudden they had Caleb Williams, a quarterback, my number one QB out of high school, who, of course, thrived at Oklahoma in the second half of the year last year. Mario Williams, my number two wide receiver out of high school, who did well at Oklahoma last year. Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff winner, Travis Dye from Oregon, a 1,000-yard rusher, Austin Jones from Stanford. Defensively, they added about 11 or 12 transfers, including Shane Lee, who started 13 games as a freshman at Alabama. And when I talked to him about the offensive line, which is probably my main concern, he said he liked the top-end experience and didn't expect to inherit this much talent. So now, all of a sudden, in the third write-through, 7 months after we started this thing, I've got USC my number one most improved team in the country, and I think they can get the double-digit wins. That wasn't the case 5-10 years ago, Steve. I never had a team move up like that, you know, from the postseason right through all the way through the start of the season. But it can happen nowadays with that transfer portal. The only other good news is the transfer portal closed May 1st.
Yes.
So we were able to capture everybody jumping out. We don't put the magazine to the press till June 8th.
Yeah.
So we captured a good portion of those moves.
Just so everyone understands, USC has 53 roster changes from last year. Just so everybody knows, that's how extensive and how much work Phil has to put in on something like that, which is remarkable. Phil, it is. We've only scratched the surface here, but I appreciate everything you write, and I appreciate every time you come on this show. Thank you so much, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Yeah, let's do another one before the football season starts.
Let's
Steve,
do it.
I always enjoy our conversations. We don't talk enough.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. Let's do it. We'll make that happen.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks
for having me on, Steve.